Welcome to Hebrew Club right before Christmas. I don't think this text, I don't know, I didn't look, but I don't know if it has anything to do with the Christmas story. But if I was really perverse, I'd try to fit it in, but I don't think I even will.
It has sin in it, which Jesus is born to forgive.
Somewhere, there you go. That's good. Yeah. We are actually about to start verse 11. Notice that it is at the beginning of a new paragraph there. And David, remember, David was talking to his friend Jonathan, and they were trying to figure out how to find out Saul's true feelings toward David. And David had just asked that question, who will tell me, or how should your father answer you harshly? Right? So in verse 11 now, they come up with this plan. So begins, Vayomer Yehonatan el David, Lekha v'netze hasadeh, v'yetzu shenehem hasadeh. And Jonathan said to David, Lekha. Alright, notice that that's just from Halak, and it's a call imperative with that hey at the end. Come on, and so it functions almost as a particle of exhortation, like we often use, come on. Alright, so Lekha, come on, and netze, you all know the root of that from?
Yatsa.
Yatsa, good. It's a imperfect first common plural. Come on, and let's go out to Hasadeh, the field. Vayetsu, so Shenehem, the two of them, went to the field. All right, so in other words, they're going out away in private, away from all the bugged palace rooms, you know. Okay, verse 12. Vayomer Yehonatan el David, Yahweh Elohe Yisrael, ki ech kor et avika et, Machar HaShelishit. Let's stop there. And Jonathan said to David. Now notice here, I think he's using Yahweh kind of in an oath. So I would say, by Yahweh the God of Israel. Or as Yahweh the God of Israel lives. Or something like that. Notice again.
Go ahead.
Oh, I only know that because I've read the passage first. I mean, when you read it, it's like, what the heck is Yahweh Elohe Israel doing there?
It's an adverbial accusative of reference.
So, yeah, that's good. notice that actually it's kind of interesting in this section. You'll notice a couple of things, and one of them is that they, when they are swearing to each other, making oaths, they'll use this kind of an expression. So here in spoken language that he just says, Yahweh Elohe Israel, and in English we'd have to say something like, by Yahweh, or by Yahweh, the God of Israel, something like that. Ki echkor. Echkor, the root is chakar, which means to search out. And I'm going to say that the ki exerts its force on the illocution. In other words, it is a strong affirmation. I will certainly search out et abi, my father. Ka eight, at the time. And notice here the definite article functions as a demonstrative, as it sometimes does in Hebrew, at this time, machar, tomorrow. Okay? Now notice you have this other word, hashelishit, very odd to render in English. You almost have to, in a lot of translations, put in brackets the word or. Tomorrow or the third day. All right? Because remember, they've been talking earlier about the new moon and the celebration when David would be missed. And so a lot of translation will add that or, whereas in Hebrew, notice it's just juxtaposed, which is very hard for us in English to translate. Okay, so about this time tomorrow, or the third, ve hine tov el David. Look, good to David. Okay, literally. Let me just translate the whole thing and see. Look, good to David. Velo az eshlak. And will I not then, Oz, will I not then send to you? And galiti et ozneka. Will I not then send to you and reveal your ear? Or in other words, tell you what I know, you know, make it clear, make the message clear to you. So let's go back again. About this time tomorrow, or the third day, look, if it is good for David, then will I not send for you, and I will reveal your ear? Will I not tell you? See, make it known to you. All right, we've seen this expression galiti ozneka before. Gala is from, or the root is gala, and it simply means to reveal, to make known. All right. Another thing I want you to notice is kind of interesting. That Jonathan switches, notice, from referring to David third person to second person. So notice he uses, he's talking to David, but he doesn't say, look, if it is good for you, he says, look, if it is good for David, will I not then send for you? So notice he switches from third, referring to David as third person, to second person. And we'll see that more than once. So whether it's kind of a idiomatic way of speaking or not, it's interesting because you see that sometimes in the prophets too, this switch, which is, you know, in English it would sound very weird. And you notice in English we have this convention that if a person refers to themselves in third person, what is that? How do we usually interpret that?
Arrogant.
If I say, well, that's Tim's place. And, you know, Tim wants this, and I'm being kind of presumptuous and all that. You know, I have a long story about Ricky Henderson that I go to in hermeneutics, but I won't do it here. Ricky Henderson always referred to himself in third person. Ricky wants first class seats. Ricky wants his own hotel room.
It means you're doing your Bob Dole invitation.
Yeah, that's right.
Bob Dole used to do this.
Well, and God refers to himself in the third person a lot as well.
So here, a little different.
But here it's just a stylistic feature. Yeah, God can do what he wants. All right. Any questions through verse 12?
I realize there's no hey interrogative, yet you kind of translate that as an interrogative phrase.
Yes. And again, that's a matter of style. Sometimes you have it, sometimes you don't. And it's just a matter of interpreting. I'm trying to figure out how this final clause relates to what he said before. And again, that becomes a little clearer when you see what comes next. That he's kind of with that rhetorical question. It's really a rhetorical question. Trying to assure David, hey, I'm certainly going to let you know if things are going well for you. Okay, because now in verse 13, the way we make ourselves through it is to see it in contrast to verse 12, if things are not going well for David. So notice that in verse 12, he first of all makes this oath kind of in the name of Yahweh, by Yahweh the God of Israel. See, I will certainly inquire in my father next year or third. And if it goes well for you, will I not then send for you and make it known to you? Okay? Now in 13, the opposite side of the coin, what happens if it doesn't? And he also starts out with an oath formula. It's a little fuller than previously. Okay? So verse 13, Ko Yaase Yahweh Lihonatan Veko Yosef. Now notice Jonathan refers to himself in third person as Jonathan. Thus may Yahweh do, Yaase, thus may Yahweh do to Jonathan. Now Jonathan's speaking. So notice he's referring to himself in the third person. Thus may Yahweh do to Jonathan, and thus may he add. That's from Yasaph, a Hiphil. And this is kind of a conventional oath formula. And a lot of people think that saying something like this is accompanied by some kind of gesture or something. And that in other places, you kind of have an enumeration of stuff that he says should go wrong with him. You know, may my eyelashes fall out and my fingernails turn yellow and my progeny die. You know, it kind of goes from that way. So thus may Yahweh do to Jonathan, and thus may he add. Okay? Now there's kind of a parenthesis here, or another interjection. Ki yetiv el avi et hara'a aleka. Okay, look very carefully at this phrase, and I'll try to untangle it for you. Okay, again, key, certainly if it seems good to my father, et hara'a, the evil upon you. Notice that yetiv, it's a hiphil form from yatav. Okay, there are some who suggest that you should understand this as a call. But even in the hiphil, sometimes it means it has this passive meaning, to be good or to be pleasing. When you have a passive verb like this, all right, sometimes what looks to be the object namely the et hara'a is actually the subject. All right, so you have an accusative that functions as the subject of this passive verb. And notice that there's not concord in gender. You have the masculine gender for the verb, but the et hara'a is feminine. And again, that's not uncommon. You have a kind of preference for the masculine, in especially in impersonal instructions like this. So you translate it. Certainly, if the evil against you is pleasing to my father. Okay, Jeff.
Tim, as you know, Greek will just leave a bunch of stuff out and you're supposed to supply it.
Mm-hmm.
So I can imagine a Greek clause leaving out an infinitive,
mm-hmm.
to do. But Hebrew doesn't characteristically, that's not a good Hebrew way to do that.
Yeah, it sometimes can.
I was wondering if you know, it could be impersonal.
Right.
Right.
Actually, an infinitive can be the subject of a verb like this.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Right.
So you would have
like
as an object clause. Yes.
Okay. All right.
It just doesn't happen to be here.
Okay.
Right. So you know, if you want to put it in English, idiomatic English, that's not actually a bad idea.
Okay.
I mean, if it seems good to do evil against you to my father.
Okay.
Okay.
That would take care of the accusative hara'a.
Right.
But.
Right.
Anyway.
But see, you see this in a number of places without the verb.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Ve galiti et osneka. Here's the same kind of phrase again from Gala. Will I not uncover your ear? Will I not let you know? And shalachtika. Will I not help you escape? See, send you away?
Mm-hmm.
And halakta. So that you might go les shalom. Notice the adverbial use of les shalom. So you might go in peace, or in safety probably would be better. Okay? Vihi Yahweh imak. And may Yahweh be with you. Notice the vihi is kind of a justice form, a shortened imperfect of hayah. May Yahweh be with you as he was with Avi, my father. Dustin.
A question regarding the... I will reveal to your ear.
Yes.
Kind of thing. When you translate, you said, will I not reveal to your ear?
No, most translations actually add a not.
Okay.
And I'm just saying that it's similar to what he did in verse 12. Notice how he works in verse 12. I will certainly inquire of my father about this time tomorrow and look if it is good to you. Will I not then send you and reveal it to you?
But it almost seems like maybe because it's...
See, it's kind of a broken up...
In the first one, but in the second one, it's and I will reveal to you.
Right. In other words, he breaks it off. In other words, the oath is kind of broken off. Thus may Yahweh do to Jonathan. Thus may he add.
Okay.
If this doesn't happen, in other words, but it's not expressed. It's like there's this interruption in the oath.
Okay.
That's why a lot of translations may Yahweh do this to Jonathan. Thus may he add to do. If it seems good. If this evil against you seems good to my father, and I do not tell you.
So they add the not.
But I would suggest that you could do it. If you can do it and it smooths it out, but it just could be this broken off oath where the rest is understood. May Yahweh do this to Jonathan, and may he add. Okay? If the evil seems good to my father, certainly I will reveal it to you. See, and then understood, if I don't, may all this happen to me. All right? Either way... Notice it's kind of complex what's going on here. And again, you're getting direct speech, so it's not really smooth syntax.
What about with the Lishalon?
Yes.
Why is that a lamed instead of a bet?
Okay, yeah, sometimes you have a bet, sometimes you have a lamed. Again, you have shalom is just a noun, a substantive. And sometimes they make adverbs out of them without any preposition. I think we saw that last time. Sometimes, you know, you kind of probably learned the preposition bait as more common, but I don't know if that's necessarily the case, especially in a book like Samuel. Sometimes lamed. Okay, so here you just have a lamed. And whether it's a dialectical thing or a register thing, who knows? It's just one of those deals we don't see as often as you might think. Okay. Any other questions on 13? All right. Now we have verse 14. Okay, just look at this. Let me read it and you'll see. Velo im odeni chai, velo ta'ase imadi chesed Yahweh, velo amut. Notice there's three velos and then a couple more velos in verse 15. Notice that the Masoretes have a note. There's nine verses that have velo, velo, velo. It's kind of funny.
It's good to know.
Yeah. So you would translate this something like and not, let me just translate that way, and not, if Odeni, if I still am living. Okay? So and not, if still I am living, pause, notice yat not. So notice he almost says it again. And not do me imadi. Okay, now see Will here, okay, how does this fit together? Notice that the velo ta'aseh is most easily taken as a question. Will you not do with me the chesed of Yahweh, the grace of Yahweh? Okay. So I would translate, will you not, if I am still chai, if I'm still living, then will you not show to me the chesed of Yahweh, Yahweh's chesed, so that not amut, so that I will not die. All right. So in other words, it's as if he knows that God has chosen David. And he's saying, you know, when Yahweh's with you, now notice he's moving to this kind of request. And will you not, if I'm still living, and will you not show with me the chesed of Yahweh?
And why aren't you trying to say chesed?
I'm just the favor of Yahweh or the mercy of Yahweh. So and then velo amut, so that I will not die. Okay? Now verse 15, notice it continues, velo takrit et chasteka. And will you not takrit, from karat to cut? Alright? And do not cut off. Takrit, this is a hip deal from karat. And do not cut off et chasteka, your favor, me'im, from with, from beiti, my house, ad olam, forever. Okay? Velo, and not, behakrit Yahweh et oive David. Look at the behakrit. Okay? What is that?
It's got to be an infinitive construct.
Good. It's a hifil infinitive construct with a bait. So as soon as you see bait, you kind of think temporal or concessive or something like that. And not in Yahweh's cutting off the enemies of David. Okay? Each one, ish, from upon the face of the land. So notice how this goes. And do not cut your grace or your mercy from my house forever. And not even if or when Yahweh cuts off the enemies of David, each one from the face of the land. So notice he kind of stresses the worst possible. Even when David's totally conquered everything and Yahweh's taking all his enemies away, it's almost as if he recognizes that his family will be seen as an enemy. So even when the enemies of your house Yahweh's taking away, don't cut my house off. Okay? Verse 16, now he continues the thought. Jonathan is still talking, but now he refers to himself in the third person again. And Jonathan, Yikrot, now notice, has made a covenant. Notice that this is a call, not a hifil, from the same root, karat. More familiar with that. So notice that the hifil is used more in the sense of to destroy. The call is used in the sense of to make a covenant. This is the word that often has the berit after it, to cut a covenant. Notice berit is not here, but that's what's understood. Jonathan has made a covenant with the house of David. And may Yahweh bekesh, notice you have vav plus perfect, piel, may Yahweh seek it, or seek, take vengeance really, from the hand of the enemies of David. Seek, so may he seek requital on the enemies of David, but not on the house of Jonathan and Saul. That's what he's saying. So notice that in these verses, Jonathan and David are making a covenant with each other and kind of making promises that they are affirming and underlining by the use of oath. All right? Any questions through verse 16? Okay. Verse 17. By Yosef Yehonatan, and Jonathan added, notice that that's from Yasaph, added to Hashbia et David. That Hashbia is a hifil from Shava, an infinitive construct, to swear. The hifil means to make swear. And Jonathan added to make David swear. In good English, and Jonathan made David swear again. Be'ahavato oto. Out of his love for him. Ahava, simple noun with love, means love, but it has verbal qualities. So, in his love, him. And so notice, words like ahava that are action nouns can take direct objects. And in English, we should probably just translate that. Out of his love for him. For ahavat nafsho. For the love of his own life. Okay, for the love of his own life, ahevo, he loved him. That ahevo is a simple call, perfect, third masculine singular. So you would probably translate, for with the love of his own life he loved him. See, so in other words, he loved him like his own life, or with the same love that he loved himself.
Or more than he loved?
Even more, yeah. For with the love of his own self, he loved him. Okay? Alright? Questions through 17. We can get one more done here. Vayomer lo Yehonatan. Then Jonathan said to him, Machar Chodesh. Machar means tomorrow. Chodesh, new moon. Tomorrow is the new moon. Venif kad taki yipaked moshaveka. Okay, nif kadta is a nifal from pakad, second masculine singular perfect, to be observed. Okay, tomorrow's the new moon, and you will be noticed. Okay, ki for, now here's another nifal, for, and here moshaveka is the subject, for your seat will be observed. See, you will be noticed. In other words, it'll be noticed that you're missing. Why? Because people are going to be watching for your seat. Saul, of course, is going to be watching for your seat. So he simply kind of says, you will be observed, you will be noticed, namely that you're missing, for your seat will be watched. Your seat will be observed. All right? And now the plan is he's going to send him away, and what happens in the, you know, he's going to plan what happens in the field next. But we'll stop here. Any questions through 18? Notice how convoluted stuff starts to get when you get back and forth emotionally charged people talking and kind of talking about complex things. Okay. All right, have a great holiday. Lord's richest blessings as we celebrate our Savior's birth. See you when we get back.